You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
God is good. God is good. You believe that? All the time? Amen. Welcome to church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I'm so glad that you're here. After the service, we've got a welcome bag for you. It's brand new. Last week was the first week with the new welcome bag. It used to be a welcome box, righto. Maybe one day it'll be a welcome wagon for those who have been watching Independence Day. Anyway, but we've got a welcome bag for you, and it's out there in the lobby. So if you're new again, after service, go get that. It's our way of blessing you. You'll love what's in there. Would you just give your neighbor a high five, say, welcome to church, and then take your seats. I made a critical error, and after worship started, I walked out into the lobby, and someone grabbed me and told me that my jacket looks like something off their 1980s Barbie doll. And I was like, I think you mean Ken doll. Thank you very much. But she said, no, I mean Barbie doll. So you could all just pray for me that I would have some encouragement during the service. I'm feeling a little conspicuous right now, so I'd appreciate your prayers. So that'd be fantastic. My wife says it's a sweet jacket, and honestly, I won't say who it was. I won't say who said that to me, but I care more about what my wife thinks than what Jesse Walk thinks. Than what someone else thinks. And so, anyway, why were you even coming in late, Jesse? Anyway, all right. So, yeah, I'll turn that around. Come on. Anyway, welcome to the 9:30 service today, right? Our first ever 9:30 service. And I'm excited to see what happens at our 11 o'clock service today as well. And welcome in Adel, our first ever 9:30 service in Adel as well. So give everyone a welcome in Adel. So if you don't know, we changed our service times because our church is growing. It's been amazing what God is doing here, isn't it, right? And honestly, like, I love, and please don't take this the wrong way. I am genuinely excited about what God is doing in your lives. I really am. And I love that this is a church where people who have been in Christianity for many years can come alive again, right? I love that, and I'll never, ever stop pursuing that mandate on our church. But the thing that really just blows my mind is that 20 to 40 people get saved every week at Eternity Church. Every week. And I think that's a part of what's bringing life into a lot of Christians who have been in church for many years, right? But God is good, and our church has been blessed, and it's been growing, and we're positioning ourselves in our service times so that we can add more services over the next 6 and 12 months. So we don't know exactly what those times will be, but we have just adjusted our service times now so that there's space to do that later on. So thank you for making that change with us. The times are at Central Campus, 6 p.m. Saturday nights, 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings, and Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And at West Campus in Adel, it's 9:30. And the live stream services, or so the online campus, is at 6 p.m. on Saturday night and Sundays at 11 a.m. So anyway, good what God is doing. Wouldn't you agree? Awesome. Has God blessed your family? Yeah. Since attending Eternity Church, yeah? So it's not just my family that's been blown away blessed, it's all the families, yeah? This week I'm starting a two-part sermon series, or maybe you could call it a mini-series called Battle. And we've all got to go to battle, don't we? Some of us. If you're new, I cannot preach unless people yell at me. I just need to know people are awake, or I just get super bored and I leave. I left once and people were like, where'd he go? And it was because no one was talking to me, right? That didn't happen. We all have to go to battle though, don't we, right? Like, you're not going to live your life without going to battle. In fact, if you've been alive for, let's say, I don't know, like 3 seconds, you've had a battle, haven't you, right? Giving birth is a battle. I've been there 5 times. It's a battle, right? All 5 were my kids, all right? And being born itself, not just giving birth, but being the baby, being born, that's a battle, right? They come out mad as a cut snake, right? because it's a battle, right? We've all got to go through battles. And oftentimes the blessing that waits for us is at the other side of a battle, right? But with God, we can have peace in the battle. It doesn't have to be all bad news, but we are going to have to battle. You're not going to have to go to battle alone because, like Scripture says, God will never leave us and He will never forsake us, right? Now, that means that God is with us and He'll never abandon us or abuse us or unfriend us because we did something wrong online, right? God's not going to abandon us. So we'll always be able to have strength and we'll always be able to have peace, but we are going to battle, yeah? Psalm 18, 28 to 32 says, "The Lord keeps my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." I love that. This is a believer that wrote this. He turns. He didn't say he turned. He said he turns my darkness into light. We're all on a journey. If there's still some darkness in your life, it's all right. The more you hang out in the presence of God, in the house of God, and the more you're listening to the voice of God, He's going to be turning your darkness into light. Amen. And so you're not done yet. We're all on a journey to become all that God has designed us to be. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, "I've got more darkness than light," well, that's all right. You're still a believer. Jesus still loves you. He has not abandoned you. He's still with you. And the more you continue to pursue Him, the more that darkness is going to turn into light. Amen? Not my sermon. With God's help, I can advance against my enemy. And with my God, I can scale a wall. It must have been a big wall, all right? Because there's most walls I've been able to scale. So He must have been talking about a big wall. As for God, His way is perfect, and the Lord's word, the Bible, is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is my rock except my God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Come on, you're going to have to go through a few battles in life. But God is going to keep you secure. God is going to arm you with strength. Amen. You are going to have some battles, though, if you want to have any level of success in your life. Not every battle comes from the enemy. Sometimes God's going to give you a bit of land that's over there on the other side of an army, all right? God said, "Go get that bit of land," and there's an army in the way. You might have to fight them to get that bit of land. But after that battle, there's going to be a tremendous blessing. Amen. And God will strengthen you in that battle. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there are a bunch of scientists or whatever, and that they wanted to see how a tree, they created like a biosphere, and they built this massive big dome. It was gigantic. It was enormous, but it was not ginormous because that is not a word. But it was gigantic and it was enormous, right? And they planted a bunch of trees in there, and there was no rain in there. There was no wind in there. There were no storms in there. And every tree and every bush was given everything that it needed. Water, nutrients, all of it given directly to the trees. The trees never got thirsty. They always had everything that they need. But what amazed them was after a certain amount of time, every time the trees reached a certain height, maybe approximately those trusses there, that every time the trees reached a certain height, every tree fell over. Every single one of them. They fell over. The trees couldn't pass a certain level. See, trees are made stronger by a thing called stress wood. They're made stronger by the wind. They're made stronger by the storms. They're made stronger by the battles. See, during the storm, during the battle, during the wind, they develop what's called stress wood. And this stress wood makes them stronger and stronger. And if they survive the storm, they can grow to another level. If they survive the wind, they've gotten a bit stronger and they can get a little higher and higher and higher. But without those battles, they're weak. Without those battles, they're too weak to even hold up their own strength. And if you go through life avoiding every battle, you'll be weak too. And you won't grow any stronger. If you go through your life and every time you see a battle, you run away, one day you won't only be stuck where you are now, you'll fall over where you are now. You won't even be able to handle what you have now. The simplest things in life will become too hard for you because you've avoided every battle. You won't be able to reach the heights of God's purpose, of God's plans for your life. But if you face your battles with God on your side, amen, you'll be made strong. You'll grow stronger and you'll be able to grow into the person that you need to be so that you can handle the pressure of the position, the pressure of the purpose, and the pressure of the favor that God wants to throw on your life. But you got to face it. Don't run away. You're not on your own. I'm not saying, hey, go have a fight. No, God is on your side. Face it with God on your side. Amen. Man, there are epic battles in the Bible. David and Goliath. Goliath is a big jerk that was, you know, mocking the army of Israel or the Lord's army. And he's saying things like how small they are and how ugly they are and how skinny they are. You know, it sounds like he was talking about me. But he's like, you know, you're too small, you're too ugly, you're too skinny. What could you people ever do to me? One day David, or the future king David, he hears Goliath mocking the Lord's people. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would mock the Lord's army? Give me what I need and I'll go and I'll take him out. He does just that. He takes a slingshot and a stone and he swings it and swings it and swings it and releases a stone and it knocks Goliath on his butt. He lands on the ground. Then David goes and grabs Goliath's gigantic sword and cuts his head off. The Bible's nuts. Like, we could have just left it at he fell over and hit his head and died, right? But no, David's like, I'm going to cut this dude's head off right now, right? Like, come on. Like, you remember when there used to be a bunch of believers that were like, you can't go to movies, that's unchristian, right? Movies are bad, don't fill your head with that kind of stuff, right? Like, I don't think those people ever even read their Bibles, right? Almost every movie like that was inspired by the Word of God, right? The Walking Dead comes from the valley of, I can't even remember what it's called, where the bones grew sinews and tissue and started walking like, you know, like, the Word of God is crazy, isn't it? Right? There's some epic battles in the Bible. Israel and Jericho, Joshua and the army of the Lord, and the people of God, we talked about this a few times this year. They come up, they see Jericho. God says to them, yo, Joshua, there's Jericho. I have given it to you. Joshua looks up and goes, no, you haven't. He didn't say that, but I'd have thought that. You know, like, God's like, Joshua, lift up your eyes and look at Jericho. I've given it to you. But Jericho has an army on the walls. Their gates are shut up. Everything is locked up. And on every earthly measure, it had not been given to them. But God says, I've given it to you. But I've given it to you on the other side of obedience. And I've given it to you on the other side of faith. And I've given it to you on the other side of a battle. So Joshua does what God told him to do and marches around that building seven times. And on the seventh time, they let out a shout of praise and the walls come tumbling down. You'd think that'd be the end of it, but it wasn't. Then they had to go in and fight. Then they had to fight. By facing these giants, Israel was made stronger. See, in fact, by facing these giants, they avoided other battles. By going to these battles, rumors started spreading about them. Don't go to battle with Israel. Run and hide. Don't go to battle with Israel. Run away, right? See, rumors started to spread about how incredibly mighty these people were. And so by facing their battles, they avoided other battles because they didn't run away. In fact, even David and Joshua's own leadership was made stronger. You're going to have to battle someday. Now, if you're here for the first time, you're like, I heard at this church, it's always like super encouraging and really nice. And you walk away and you're like, yay, I feel good. But today the pastor's telling me I have to have a fight. That's right. In fact, Pastor Jed is going to be waiting in the parking lot for anyone who's never had a fight. And if you've never had a fight, Pastor Jed is going to wait out there with a sign saying, fight me. And today you're going to be made stronger. Come on. No, that's not really what's going to happen today, all right? Well, say something bad about his wife and kids, and you might, but that's not planned so far, all right? But we are talking about battling. But here's the thing, and the main point that I want to make today. You are going to have to battle, but you don't want to live in battle mode. You don't want to live there. You don't want to build your house there. See, all those trees, they need time to grow the stress wood. Even your scar tissue, when you're cut, it heals strong, but it needs time to grow the scar tissue. You can't live in constant battle mode. If you get cut in the same spot every single day, you're going to get an infection. It needs time to heal and grow the scar tissue. If you're walking around everywhere looking for an opportunity to battle, you're going to get infected. You're not going to be made stronger. Some people, they walk around all day, every day in battle mode, just looking for a fight, looking for someone or something to be offended by. They're just looking for an offense. Why spend so much time searching for reasons to be hurt, searching for reasons to be cut, reasons to be mad, reasons to be angry at people, looking for opportunities for a battle? Why? Because living in constant battle mode, these people, they're not made stronger. I said earlier that going to battle will make you stronger. Constant battle mode will not make you stronger. In fact, you'll grow weaker. You'll grow more bitter. You'll grow more meaner. You'll grow more angry. Living in constant battle mode, it won't make you stronger. You'll become bitter, mean, angry, depressed, and infected. In fact, you'll become infected and contagious. You'll start overflowing all of that garbage on everybody else around us. You know the people. You know the people when you overtake them on the freeway. Which, by the way, why do we care when someone overtakes us on the freeway? Right? It's like as if in our head, someone overtakes us and we see a sign on the back of their car that says, "I'm faster than you, you loser." It's not there. It's in your head. It doesn't exist. It's okay if somebody's foot is 1 millimeter further down on the gas pedal than yours. It means nothing at all. 1 millimeter, that's like 1/1 billionth of an inch, or whatever the word you would use here in your weird measuring system that makes zero sense to me at all. Well, we have 1/57th of an inch and 1/62nd of an inch and 1/10th of an inch. Just use millimeters, all right? There's 10 in every centimeter. There's 10 of those in every 10 centimeters, and there's 10 of those in every meter. Anyway, move on. All right. Why do we get so annoyed? Because someone's foot is slightly heavier than ours. So the battle mode person, they speed up to stop them passing. That kind of pride, that kind of need for battle is only going to create an opportunity to hurt them or even you in a car accident. It's dumb. Who cares? The same person, they're in the right-hand lane, and they see in the left-hand lane a car, like, you know, like 3 lanes away, a car fly past them. They say something like, "I hope they crash." Like, what? I've been in the car with people who have said that. "I hope they have an accident." Really? They're speeding. You hope they die? That's not right. That's intense. That punishment does not fit the crime at all, right? Like, "Oh, their foot's too far down on the gas. Die." Why? Or even this, "I hope they get a ticket." Really? "I hope God makes their car invisible so the cops can't see them. But that's because I drive fast myself." Why would you want that? Someone's rushing home and hope they have some financial trauma because of this. Same person walks into the office and they say hello to someone and the person didn't reply. And they're like, "Hello? I said hello. Sorry, I did not hear you." They walk by their desk. They see a little bit of paper on the floor. Who left this trash here? Like, calm down, dude. What is wrong with you? They go to the fridge and there's no non-fat 2% soy vegan almond milk in there. Where's my non-fat soy vegan 2% almond milk? Everybody knows I like that stuff. Why aren't y'all looking after me? Hey, you drink that. That's fine. You do you, boo-boo, but I want real milk. We call our spouse on the phone and they don't answer. Answer your freaking phone. Never answer the phone. Why do you even have a phone? I've got a friend who lives in a cul-de-sac. I live in a cul-de-sac, but this story's about a friend. I'm not mocking one of my neighbors. But can I just say, if you moved into a cul-de-sac, that's on you. There's kids up in there, all right? Like, if you don't like kids and you don't like people being up in your business, don't buy a house in a cul-de-sac. That's on you, my friend. I got a friend. He has a house in a cul-de-sac full of families like ours. And there's this one person in there, whenever they're playing basketball with his kids, the ball might miss the ring, heaven forbid, and land on her lawn. And she'll yell out to them, get that ball off my lawn. Stay off my lawn. Kids like, I can't do both. Do you want me to get the ball off? Or do you want me to stay off? I don't know what you want right now. It's confusing me, Dad. Like, why? She's 22. 22. There's a rule that you have to be at least 72 before you give a crap about your lawn. Good Lord, people. It's true. I care about my lawn. It looks pretty, but go ahead and walk on it. My dog craps on it. It is what it is. It's on the ground. There's a lady in Australia in the news right now, and I hope she doesn't watch online. Kind of hope she does, but hope she does. I don't even know what I want right now. There's a lady in Australia. She's suing her next door neighbor because she's sick of smelling beef on their barbecue in the backyard. Really? Someone's cooking in the backyard, bouncing balls. I'm sorry, but next door there's people who are alive. Why do people live in constant battle mode? It all sounds funny, but if this is you or someone that you know or love, this is weakening that person. These battles aren't making you stronger. You gotta stop looking for battles everywhere. The day could have gone something like this. Someone overtook me. Nothing, literally. Zero emotions. Didn't even notice. It's a Chevy or a Ford or a Mitsubishi. Well, probably not a Mitsubishi. That'd be broken down. But they don't overtake anybody. In Australia, we call them bits of missing. But anyway. Someone's speeding. God protect their family. Make their car invisible. Someone didn't say hello. Maybe they didn't hear me. There's paper on the floor. I'll put that in the trash. No one got me some weird milk. I'll go buy my own. I'm here to be a blessing. Spouse didn't answer the phone. Just calling up to say, you're amazing. Love you heaps. Hey, kid, here's your ball. It can be so much easier if we just learn to pick our battles. You got to pick your battles. You got to pick your battles. Some of you are getting it. The right battles are going to make you stronger, but the wrong battles are going to weaken you. King David's son Absalom betrayed his dad and tried to take over his father's kingdom in 2 Samuel 15, 13 to 22. A messenger came to David and said, the hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom. Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, come, we must flee or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately or he will quickly move to overtake us and bring ruin to us and put the whole city to the sword. I'm going a little overtime, so I'm just going to paraphrase the rest. So let's run away. Done. In this scripture, we see there's two men. There's one man named Ittai, and he's just a dude who is new to the city. And David says to him, Ittai, you should just go back because Absalom doesn't even know you or care about you. You'll be just fine if you go back. And Ittai says, no, I'm going with you, bro. I'm going to stay with you. Your battles are my battles. I'm coming with you. There's two men choosing whether or not to battle. David saying, we're not going to battle today. We're going to go away. And then Ittai says, well, I'm not going to battle today either, but I am going to make your battle my battle. You got to love loyal people, amen? People who are willing to fight beside you when they've barely even known you, right? But David was choosing not to battle today. Why didn't he battle? He wasn't running away afraid. He wasn't running away being foolish. In fact, he knew that staying and going to battle would be absolutely foolish. He saved his battle. He saved his energy for a battle that would be blessed by God. If he went to battle that day, he would have been destroyed. The whole city would have been destroyed. Every single person in it would have been put to the sword. And that's exactly what happens when we live in battle mode, when we don't pick our battles wisely, and when we let pride dictate the battles that we're going to have. We get hurt, we get weakened, we don't recover from the last battle before engaging in the next battle, and everyone around us gets hurt. That's what happens when we don't pick our battles. We wake up battling with our spouse. Stop kicking me. We wake up angry at the world. The kid walks in. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Go away. I'm tired. And they didn't even get a chance to say, I had a bad dream. Hold me, Mom. Hold me, Dad. Get out of here. They didn't get a chance to say, Mom, Dad, there's a burglar in the house. And instead of going and having a battle with the burglar, we had a battle with the messenger. Your family deserves better than that. Your kids deserve better than that. Your parents deserve better than that from godly kids. Amen. All the parents yell out, amen. You got to pick your battles with your spouse. You will battle your spouse. Some of them probably need to happen. My wife's had to battle me, and she needed to because I do dumb things. But you got to pick your battle with your kid. Pick your battle with your boss. Pick your battles on the interstate. And as far as it is possible with you, like Scripture tells us in the New Testament, live at peace with everybody. David could have stayed in Jerusalem, armed his soldiers, and fought back against Absalom, but he didn't. Instead, he ordered everyone, get out. If we stay here, not only will we who stay be put to the sword, but everyone who lives in this city will be put to the sword. And everybody would have suffered because of David's pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, a prideful heart always leads to destruction. What is there really to gain? What is there really to prove if we lose everything in the process? Great, your house is clean, but you live there alone. There's no door, no dirt at the front door, but there's no kids either. The bed is made, but there's no one sharing it with you. It breaks my heart when I see people living in constant battle mode. Not only because it hurts everyone else around them, but because of the pain and the bitterness and the loneliness that the battler themselves is living in. And if that's you, I really do pray that you'd be set free today. See, I don't want to have to help you through a divorce. I don't want to have to help you through a separation, through a lost work opportunity or a bad investment or a broken relationship. I'm willing and I'll be there with you. But I'd much prefer to see you grow strong by having the right battles, living in blessing in times of peace, amen. David walked away from the battle, and then God delivered him. God delivered him. He heard from God and knew when he needed to battle. God gave him victory. But there's another story in the Bible where a king did not back down from a battle that did not need to be fought. That king was King Josiah battling against Necho, the king of Egypt. In verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 35, Necho sent messengers to Josiah saying, what quarrel is there between you and me, bro? It is not you I am attacking. God told me to hurry. So stop opposing God who is with me. Josiah would not turn away from battle, and he disguised himself so he could go to battle against King Necho. He would not listen to what God had said. Listen, he would not listen to what God had said through King Necho. And Josiah is killed in the battle. And God only knows how many other people were killed in that battle. Because we got to count the cost of the battle. We got to ask ourselves, is God even in this? Does God want me to fight this battle? Is there a battle that you're currently fighting that you need to swallow your pride and just back down and be like, meh, whatever, go faster, I don't care? Is pride playing a role in your decision making? What decisions do we need to do? How can we change it so that this week we're making decisions out of wisdom, decisions out of grace, decisions out of hope and mercy instead of pride? Is God in this? And I know right now God is speaking to people in this room about powering down your war machine and letting peace rule in your hearts. Scripture says to let. It doesn't just say that peace will. It says let peace rule in your hearts. You got to choose to let peace rule. You got to choose to invite peace into your heart and into your life. Let joy be the fuel that you run on. Let hope influence the words that come out of your mouth. Let restoration begin today. Amen. Come on, if you receive this word, would you stand up, say amen, give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Come on. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want you to give your life to Jesus right now. Right now. I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time. Everyone in the room is going to pray it as well, one line at a time after me. And if you don't know Jesus, or if you've walked away from Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with us today. Give Him your life. Let peace rule in your life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He said, let us make mankind in our image. And at that very moment, God thought of you. And the whole plan for your life popped into God's mind. At that moment, God thought of you, and you've been in His mind ever since. Jeremiah 29 tells us that God has plans to bless us, plans to prosper us, plans to heal us, plans to give us life full and overflowing with hope. Today, I'm asking you to pray a prayer with me, to step out of the devil's plans for your life, to step out of the drama in your life, to step out of the hurt and the shame and the sin in your life, and to step into the plan that God has had in His mind since He said, let me make John, let me make Terry, let me make Jillian, let me make mankind in our image. I'm not asking you to be perfect. None of us are. I'm certainly not. Definitely not. I'm not the one that stands up here and says, hey everybody, I'm better than you, follow me. No, I'm saying I just know what God's plans are for you, and I know what His plans are for me, and that's why you should follow along. That's it. I'm just the one God said to get up here and tell you about it. So pray this prayer with me. Give Him your life. Let Him take away your shame, take away your hurt, take away your sin, and breathe new life into your world right now in Jesus' name. You won't be alone. 20 to 40 people do this every single week. Last night, Saturday night, that's our smallest service, only a couple of hundred people there. Nine people gave their lives to Jesus Christ last night. You're not gonna be alone. So pray this prayer with me. Everybody in the room, in a bold and loud voice, repeat after me, dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I make you the Lord of my life. Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, there's three things I want you to do real quick, real easy. Number one, tell someone what you did. The person that brought you to church, a friend, a family member, just tell someone what you did. Get it on Facebook, get it on Instagram. Just be bold and say, I gave my life to Jesus. Watch me. live a blessed life from now on. The second thing is, I want you to tell us what you did by texting the word SAVE to the number 25827. It'll be on the screen in just a second. Text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. There it is on the screen now. Just text that up there and we'll send you a gift in the mail. A free gift, a Bible, a gift card, and a CD with the worship that we sing here at Eternity Church. We know those three things will bless your life. Text that number. The last thing is, I want you to tell me right now, and when I count to three, I want you to tell me so that I can pray for you. I'm not going to come down there. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell everyone who you are. I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads, everyone in the room, I'm going to pray this prayer for you, a prayer that God will bless you. And I just want you to lift your hand when I count to three so I know who I'm praying for. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, while no one's looking around, on the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up those hands. I see that hand and I see that hand. Is there, and I see that hand and I see that hand. Is there anybody else? That hand and that hand. That's five hands. Is there anybody else? Just lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see it. Those five hands. Praise God. Six hands. Praise God. You can put your hands down. But now everyone in the room, reach out your hands in faith as we pray for those people. And those people lifted up your hand, you lift up your hands as well, just to receive what we're praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love every single one of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that when time began, you had a plan to bless these people's lives. And right now, as they step out of that darkness, step out of that drama, step out of that pain, and as they step in to your plan, your purpose, your power, your hope, your peace, your joy, I pray that you would deliver them of the shame of their past, things done to them, around them, or even by them. God, break that shame off their lives and flood their hearts with peace, with everlasting joy, and with hope right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Church, I'm going to walk off this stage, but I know there are people in this room who need to stop doing battle with everybody else, do battle with the devil, with people and with God at your side. Come down the front, have prayer and say, I'm going to battle this battle out of my life. I'm not going to live in battle mode anymore. I'm going to live in peace. I'm going to live in joy. I'm going to live in strength. And God is going to be my strength in Jesus' name. So come down the front, get prayer right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you heaps.